9:35 back on the Chad Hastie Show. News Talk 790 KFYO, online KFYO.com, and via the Radio Pup app. You can download that. iPhone, iPad, Android device, just download it. Take the show wherever you go. Listen to us, KFYO programming, all right there with the Radio Pup app, absolutely free. Joining me now, the co-founder of MustReadTexas.com and GOP strategist, Matt Mikowiak. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Chad. Doing great. How about you?
Doing great. Thanks for coming on today.
Sure.
Let's start off talking about a story that it's been developing, came to head last week, the Republican National Committee deciding, you know what, CNN, NBC, you're going to run this Hillary Clinton miniseries, these Hillary Clinton specials. We're going to cut you out of the debates. What are your thoughts on this? Is that a smart move by the Republicans?
You know, I kind of think it is. And, you know, first of all, I think that it needs to be said sort of as a, just as a sort of qualifier, that the news divisions at CNN and at NBC are separate from the networks. I think it's more true at NBC because NBC is a network.
Right.
And, you know, there's sort of a news division that produces, you know, basically the nightly news and Meet the Press. And then there's MSNBC, which is sort of totally, in a way, totally separate, right? Mm-hmm. And so the fact that the network, it's like saying, you know, I'm trying to think of a primetime show on NBC that I'm even aware of, but if it's like saying
a
primetime show on NBC decided to give Hillary a cameo. I mean, does that reflect on NBC News? I don't know. So I do think that there's a reasonable argument to be made there. And Chuck Todd of NBC made that, but he also said that this was a disaster for NBC News because most people weren't going to make that distinction.
Right.
So I do think you got to say that on the front end. On the other hand, though, look, the RNC and our chairman, Reince Priebus, who I think is doing a really, really, really good job, and I didn't think that of his predecessor, Michael Steele, but I think that he understands that we had far too many debates last time, that it did turn into a traveling circus, and that it hurt our candidates. It put him in a position where, you know, the media would basically try to ask questions to embarrass them, right? Raise your hand if you do this, you know,
yeah,
all this kind of thing. And obviously, this next time we're going to have better candidates, and they're going to perform better in the debates, and so that's going to help. But we don't need 28 debates. We need a smaller number. They need to be more controlled. We need to have more control over who moderates them. And it seems to me like the RNC was looking for a reason to sort of limit the debates and just gave them a reason. I do think it's unthinkable that, let's say we had a front runner on our side, that NBC and CNN would do a four-part miniseries or an hour-long documentary, you know, on, say, Rand Paul or Chris Christie or Ted Cruz. It's unthinkable. And so, you know, Hillary is a unique political figure, given that she was a former first lady and a secretary of state. She's groundbreaking. I understand that. But this is free advertising for her. It's part of the coronation. It's part of media bias. And so, I'm really glad that the RNC chairman has led this. And I'll tell you something else. It's not controversial. It was a unanimous vote in the RNC in Boston last week at their summer meeting. And, you know, unanimous votes at the RNC summer meeting are pretty rare.
What about the argument, and devil's advocate here,
yeah,
that you are cutting out a segment from CNN, from NBC, that, you know, maybe they have some independents that are watching. Maybe, you know, they've got folks who are still on the fence between Hillary Clinton and the Republicans.
Yeah.
Aren't you cutting those people out from viewing the debate?
You are. You know, I'd start by saying I think it's a small share of the Republican primary electorate. You know, I think the most Republican primary voters are, you know, have stronger beliefs in many cases than stronger and they're more ideologically aligned than I think, you know, the kind of folks that watch certainly NBC and probably CNN. I mean, CNN is more down the middle. NBC, I think, you know, really tilts a little bit more to the left, although they're probably center left. But I think we're headed towards a deal where this is going to be mostly Fox. And I'm not necessarily sure that that's a good thing, because I agree with you. We need to have broader views and a broader audience. But you know what? These debates get attention no matter who hosts them, because news is made, clips are shared. Every candidate's going to be blasting out their best moments. It's going to drive news coverage in print, you know, print and online. So the idea that people who watch CNN religiously aren't going to be able to see any part of the debate because they aren't going to have one if they do the Hillary thing, I just think I don't think that's the world we live in today. I think 10 years ago that might have been true. But again, I think, you know, what this is less about those two individual networks particularly and more about a broader problem, which is that we've seen unbelievable media bias over the last, what, 5-6 years with President Obama, unbelievable media bias towards him. And it was particularly true in the campaign. I mean, if you just go back even to the things that they talked about with Romney,
yeah,
and the lack of investigating Obama early and since, I mean, I just think that the RNC said enough's enough.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, are we ever going to have a true debate, though, among some of these, some of the Republicans, and even going into Republican versus Hillary, or are we going to have, to me, you know, I watch these debates and I know what's going on. We're keeping up with what's going on, obviously. So to me, it's like glorified press statements that are being made, up there. Can we have a debate where, you know, maybe we do loosen things up a little bit and allow these candidates to actually go after each other and express ideas instead of, hey, here's a statement that I made on my website, but I'm going to say it with force now, so that way you know I really mean it.
Yeah, there's a performance aspect to a televised debate, and that's true at a local level, and it's even more true at a presidential level. And honestly, this is really, I think, the naivete that Gingrich had last time. You know, he thought, I'm not going to play the, you know, he used to call them Mickey Mouse games of, you know, 30-second sound bites and listening to consultants and all that stuff. In the end, though, those things hurt him.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish it wasn't the case. I wish we could do Lincoln Douglas. It's hard to do Lincoln Douglas with 12 people running.
True.
And in the media environment we live in today, it's basically a miracle we can get an hour of airtime to begin with. So I just think that, you know, unfortunately, that's not the world we live in. But the good thing is, I think that debates reveal character. They don't produce it. You know, they don't strengthen character. They reveal it. And honestly, we do need a candidate who can debate, a strong Democrat. We didn't have one. I mean, Romney did okay, but the other candidates all failed in the debates for the most part last time. And next time, we're going to have better debaters. If you look at the first tier of candidates, whether it's people like Chris Christie or even Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Paul Ryan, I mean, you go down the list, Marco Rubio, these are all strong debaters, really smart people. They know issues and they can communicate. And so I think it's going to be a really marked difference in 2016 versus 2012 in that department.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, let's take a look statewide, what's happening for Texas 2014. The AG's race is going to be, I think, one of the more important races to really start paying attention to and looking at. For those who have no idea about any of these candidates on the Republican side who are running for Attorney General, can you, I guess in a nutshell, tell us a little bit about the differences and what we need to look for in these candidates?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, you've got three candidates running for Attorney General. You have a Houston energy guy who's our Railroad Commission chairman in Barry Smitherman. You have State Senator Ken Paxton of McKinney, who's a strong conservative, and I think is in his first term in the state Senate, was a state rep before that. And then you have State Rep Dan Branch, who is the House Education chairman, is fairly close to Speaker Joe Strauss, basically has probably the wealthiest state house district in the entire state of Texas, has the sort of Preston Hollow area where President Bush 43 lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I look at these things probably more in political terms rather than maybe policy terms, but, you know, all three of them are going to try to run as conservatives. Paxton, I think, in my mind, is the strongest conservative, although I think Smitherman is too. You know, and Branch is, I think, more sort of in that sort of mainstream Republican mode, although he'll also say he's a strong conservative. You know, I'll be honest with you. It's gonna be interesting to see how these guys all perform, because they're all gonna say they're gonna follow in Greg Abbott's footsteps. They're not gonna have a lot of differences on views. I think with two of them being legislators, they're gonna talk about their votes and they're gonna try and draw contrasts. But Branch has the most money. He's got $4 million. Smitherman and Paxton have quite a bit less, I believe. But there's a long way to go here, and it'll be interesting to see if anybody else gets into that race. So that's an interesting one, because to me, I could potentially see Ted Cruz or Greg Abbott perhaps endorsing it if they find a candidate that they really like and that they want to support, particularly Abbott, because he's going to care a lot about not only who takes the job that he's had for so long, but he wants an attorney general he can work with closely, because they're going to be fighting the federal government for the last 2 years of Obama's term.
Yeah, that would be interesting if Abbott came out and endorsed a candidate in that race, especially one where, you know, you look at Ken Paxton, Dan Branch, Barry Smitherman, like you said, there are differences between them, but there aren't outstanding huge differences between any of these candidates.
No, that's true. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what the contrasts are. I mean, you know, pretty much anyone who's running for Attorney General right now is going to say they're going to sue the feds. I mean,
yeah,
there's not a whole lot of difference there. and they're going to crack down on, you know, people not paying child support and, you know, things like that, fraud and stuff like that. I mean, so it's going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be probably come down more to who raises the most money and who runs the best campaign and less about, you know, specific policy differences, because I don't think these guys are going to have very many.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. What can folks find this morning on mustreadtexas.com?
Yeah, we're now, as I said, I think last week, totally in the political season with the regular session and the special sessions over. And we're really on sort of Wendy Davis countdown, you know, watch at this point. I think she's said she'll announce by or right after Labor Day, which is about 15 or 14 days away now. So that's really kind of everything sort of stops till she makes that decision. You know, there's some other candidates that are still making announcements and getting things together. The field for Lieutenant Governor, Attorney General's basically set. You did have a little bit of a hubbub over a offensive tweet that a supporter of Greg Abbott put on Twitter yesterday that Greg Abbott responded to by saying thanks, and he said this morning and last night that he didn't read the full tweet that the guy said. He would have not condoned his offensive comments. So I think it's probably a blip, but it does show that in this social media world we live in today, you know, everyone's trying to make something out of nothing and pounce quickly. So this political season is going to get real hot real quick. After Labor Day, candidates are going to be in this thing 100%, and it's going to be very interesting. So we got all the news up on mustreadtexas.com, and your listeners can sign up for the indispensable morning email sent out very early, which I know you like very much.
Yes, it's absolutely fantastic. Follow Matt on Twitter as well, at Matt Makowiak. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Chad. Take care.
You too. That's Matt Makowiak, GOP strategist, co-founder of mustreadtexas.com. It's one of those websites to check out every single morning and throughout the day.